Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. There's a common theme I've been seeing floating all around social media, on Facebook. I've been seeing lots of people posting about burnout and people asking if others have been thinking about a change in career. I will say a lot of the people that I've been seeing posting about this are dog trainers. That's where I have a lot of my community and a lot of the people I follow on social media. But I've seen this outside of the dog world. I've also looked at people who are thinking about moving from their professional lives and the business world, corporate world into dog training. And then people who are already dog trainers who are saying, hey, is anybody thinking that they want to get out of the industry and do something different? So it seems to be a common theme that has been really floating around a lot. I know right now with COVID and the how it's affected dog owners, everybody going out and getting puppies. I know it's that's been a big reason in the dog training world, are people just super, super busy and getting burned out. But I also think some of the things that have been going on in the country, in the world, has made people take pause and think about what is it that's truly important to them. And what I wanted to talk about today is, I know there's a lot of questions, a lot of insecurities, and a lot of fear that comes around this topic. And I know personally, when I was thinking about a change of career and when I wasn't happy in the career that I had chosen many, many years ago, and I thought I would retire and like be in that career forever, I also had a lot of guilt around, you know, why I have an amazing job, you know, why don't I love it? I have a really good thing going. Am I crazy for wanting to leave it? And so there's so many emotions and so many fears and so many unknowns around this that I wanted to talk about this tonight and share a little bit of my story and some of the issues that and the questions and the things that helped me make a decision. And I know everybody's situation is different. I know that, you know, what I decide is not it's not right for other people. Everybody has their own reasons, their own rationale. For some people, changing a career, changing the business is the right move. For other people, it's not. So it's not like there's one size that fits all. But I think there's certain questions and things that people should be thinking about that can help give some clarity and help them either make a decision to make a change or to make a decision to not make a change, but feel more confident in the decision that you made. And also not having guilt along the way, whether you stay or you don't stay. So this is a topic that I wanted to talk about tonight, and I would love to hear your experiences. Hey, Jennifer, yeah, this should be available for replay if the technology works properly. But if you're just now joining us, I'd love to hear kind of what you're thinking here. Are you like, you know, hey, I'm in the job I wanna do, I'm just dealing with burnout, or are you actually thinking about a career change? But here's some questions that I've been seeing a lot and things that come to mind for me is, are you feeling burned out by your job or your business? Are you wondering if this is the time for change? And also, how do you know if it's not just a bad week, a bad month, or a bad year? I dealt with this a lot. When I was not happy in the job that I had, this question really haunted me. You know, it's like, do I just wait and will it get better? Is this just, am I just having a bad year? Is it just a bad month? How do I know that it's not just a bad spell, or is it actually the career? Is it actually where I am in my life? And I'm going to talk a little bit about this and how I worked through this. And then the other question is, how do you know if it's time to completely reinvent yourself, to reinvent your life and do something completely different? Or maybe not completely different. Maybe it's a shift in focus. Like, you know, maybe you are a dog trainer in pet dogs and you're going to make a big shift over to service dogs or sport dogs. Or maybe you have an online business and you're going to stay in the company, but you're going to move it from, or you have an in-person, but you're going to move it online. So it could also be like reinventing yourself. It could be reinventing your business, and you're not necessarily doing a complete change in the business, but there's some pretty drastic changes along the way. So what I'm going to be sharing with you today, I think is going to be applicable and things for you to consider in all of these situations. So let me give you a little bit of background here. This is kind of, let me tell you my perspective and where I stand on this. Like I said, not everybody's in the same position. Not everybody thinks like me. But I truly believe that I want to live a life that feeds my soul. I am a type of person that I have to have like stimulation in my life and my career, or I just feel stagnant and it affects me psychologically. It affects me emotionally. I'm the type of person, if I can't do the same type of job and the same thing day in and day out, year after year after year after year. Like, I'm a type of person, I'm always looking for challenges. When I meet a challenge, I'm off to look for another challenge. I can be teaching something for years and years, but I get a little bored and I need to spice it up. I need some creativity in my life. And so I feel like for me to be happy, I need that passion and excitement in what I'm doing. Now, I'm not saying that passion and excitement is not there. I'm not saying every day you should wake up, you know, you're going to wake up and be like, oh my gosh, this is a wonderful life. Everything, you know, we all have our down days and our up days. But when you do the sum of the average of your days, I want to live my life where I'm excited and I have like that high on life and I'm motivated and I feel passionate about the things that I do. And this was one of the things when I was deciding, like, I'm divorced, but the decision of, do I stay in my marriage and do I leave? And there was a time where I'm kind of like averaging up. Do I spend more of my time miserable or do I spend more of my time happy? And, you know, what's the relationship in this? And so this is something that like drives my relationships. My life is, I don't want to live a life that's just a mundane, a job is a job. I just have to get through it. And I don't want to have a type of job where I live for the weekend or a day off, because that's a lot of your life that you're, you know, kind of twiddling away if all you do is you spend 5 days a week counting down the hours till Friday. And that's not the kind of life that I wanted. And so if you know a little bit about me, I was in academia, a university professor. I had a tenured guaranteed for life position, associate professor at the university, a really good job. This is a job that many, it's a very hard to come by job at a tenured position at a research one university. A small percent of people actually get that kind of a position. And here I was nearly 18, 19 years into my career at the university. And I was like, I think I want to leave. and I did that. If you followed, my lifestyle, I was living in New Jersey, and the lifestyle I wanted was not what I had in New Jersey. I loved Maine. I wanted to live where I could have time to do hiking and be outdoors. I wanted to be in nature. I didn't want to be in all the city and all the traffic and the rushing. I wanted a lifestyle that was a little bit more, you know, relaxed and just, you know, a little bit slower and enjoy life. And I had this vision for quite a while, but I ended up leaving the university. I started up my online business, and I left the university position to do canine fitness, you know, doing canine fitness online. And some of the university people, they're like, you do what online? I'm like, well, I teach canine fitness. But my job allowed me, my online business, to build up the financial security. I was able to leave the university. I retired early. You know, I gave up, you know, my insurance and everything, saved up money and built this beautiful house in Maine. And I moved here last June, and you know, I go running in Acadia National Park. I go kayaking. I have a healthier lifestyle. I still work my butt off, but I'm doing a kind of job that I brought that passion back in my life. So that gives you a little bit of the context behind, I've been there. I've done it. I've had the insecurities. It took me years to figure out that, you know what, I think I want to leave, to figuring out that I need to leave, to having the courage to make the leap. So that's a little bit of the context kind of behind this to inform you. But this is one of the things I want to say here is, you know, we're in control of our lives. And one of the things my friend and mentor and business coach, Jane Duber, this was a really defining moment. It was a mind shift for me, a mental shift, is I was complaining during a coaching session, and I was talking with Jane, and I was like, you know, oh, I don't have time for this. And, you know, I haven't gone running in all week. I haven't had any time to take my dog out to go to the park. You know, I'm so busy. I don't have any time for myself. And she just stopped me. And she was like, Erica, do you own your business? You know, are you the one in control? Are you the one that sets your schedule? And I'm like, yes. She's like, well, you created this. If you're working 7 days a week, if you're setting a schedule where you have zero time to go out running with your dog throughout the week, you have full control over this. And, you know, instead of, I mean, she didn't say it quite like that, but it was like, instead of sitting here and complaining, do something about it. Like, you have full control. If you don't want to work that hard, don't work that hard. If you are, you know, working with clients, the kind of clients that you don't want to work with, then start making a change. I didn't have an issue with clients, but that's just an example. And I was taken aback and I was like, oh, you know, she's right. I was the one booking all those meetings back to back. I was the one that was booking 7 days a week of appointments. I was the one that was booking, you know, five sessions back to back and without any breaks. And I was like completely burnt out at the end of the day. And I had full control to be able to change that. And I wasn't. And I know not everybody has that kind of control. But I had the lifestyle at the university where I didn't have 100% of that control. And that was also another contributing factor of why I wanted to leave. I wanted more control over my life. But this was a huge thing. It was a big mental shift because I was complaining, and I'll still complain, but I try to catch myself. But you know, oh, grumble. Oh, this. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. And oh, you know, another week went by. Oh, I'm so stressed. Like, I was there and I was complaining and I was griping. And she just turned it on me. She's like, you know, if you want a 4-day week, go create a 4-day week. If you want to work at home, you know, you can do that. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but it was like, I have control over this. And so that's one thing that I would say for all of you. Yeah, Beverly, you're in the same place. So this is a huge thing, is our mindset is huge. Don't fall into that mindset that, you know, you're the victim. You have no control. Well, I just have to kind of suck it up. Well, you don't have to suck it up. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but if it's that important to you to make a change, it might not happen. It did not take me overnight for me to get to Maine. It was not overnight for me to get the lifestyle I have now, but it was so important to me that I kept working towards it and I made it happen. And it comes down to how important it is to you. And a mental mindset is, my mental mindset is, giving up and failure is not an option. I'll find a way. I will make it work. And there were all kinds of bumps in the road. I had people trying to tell me not to do it. I had people trying to tell me not to build the house I built. I had people trying to tell me I was crazy for leaving the university, but I had a vision of the lifestyle that I wanted and I was not going to give that up. And there were times that I thought about giving it up, and that mental mindset, I started to get kind of beat down, but I kind of repositioned, got re-energized, got clarity on my vision, and kept moving forward. So that mental mindset, a big clue into that mental mindset is when you find yourself excuses and complaining. That's a huge red flag that your mental mindset is not in the right spot to be productive for you. If you're giving, and you have to catch yourself, sometimes you don't realize this as an excuse, right? And yeah, Emily and vet med and burned out. So I'm going to give you some tips here about maybe you are in the right career and the right job, but dealing with the burnout. I'm going to give you some tips on that of what helped me. But pay attention to your mental mindset. That's one thing to be aware, like understanding that you're burnout. Like, that's a key to start making a change, realizing where you are and being very in tune to where you are, that, you know, you're not going to be able to make a change unless you realize what needs to be changed. Right. And Erica says, very difficult, the battle of the burnout in the veterinary medicine. So let me give you some tips here. So one of the things that this is what helped me. Like I said, everybody's situation is different, but I'm hoping this will help some of you. Number one is, how long have I felt this way? Like, how long have you felt this way? And that was one of the first things, is this temporary? Is it just a passing? Or is this something that is reflective of, I need a major change? And for me, this was a feeling that had been lasting for years. And it was changing. Instead of getting better, it was just a little bit of, you know, a little bit of unhappiness, a little bit of not feeling fulfilled. But over the years, that feeling was intensifying. It was growing. So it wasn't like I had a bad year or a bad 2 years. When I actually keep a journal, and I could go back and see my journals from 3 years before and 4 years before and 5 years before. And when I looked at my journal, I was like, no, this is not a passing thing, because I had little tidbits of this years. I had kind of seedings of things happening years ago. And this was something that had been progressive. And it had been something that it wasn't just a bad month or a bad, you know, maybe even a bad year, but there was clear evidence that this was an ongoing thing. So that was a key to me, that it's not just a bad month or a bad year. This was an ongoing theme that I had been questioning for quite a while. So, you know, if it has not been happening for a very long time, it might be, you know, you're just in a slump. It might be you need to do something and, you know, get through the month, get through the year. But this was something that was really important to me to realize, to make such a significant change in my life, you know, a complete career change, move across the country. There were no questions for me. I had clear evidence that this was something that was ongoing, and it had actually, instead of getting better, it was progressively, I was feeling less fulfilled. The next thing is, are you taking care of yourself? Because if you're not taking care of yourself, and if you're stressed and you're fatigued, your health is not good, everything's going to feel 10 times worse. And at the end of, sometimes when I have a day where I'm complaining and griping and I'm like, you know what, Erica, you didn't get enough sleep last night. That's probably why I'm feeling so grumpy and unhappy. Let's get some good sleep and let's revisit this tomorrow or next week when I had some rest. So if you're not taking care of yourself, and if you're not rested, and if you're not you know, eating well and taking care of yourself mentally and emotionally and physically, it's going to be really hard to make the right kind of decision, because you're not necessarily in the right frame of mind, because you've got so many other things going on. So if you're feeling burnt out, you know, right now, and you're feeling stressed and you've got a lot of questions and doubts, the first thing to do is, are you taking care of yourself and are you making yourself a priority? I don't care how busy you are and how much you need that money. If you don't take care of yourself and take care of your health, like everything, like you're not going to be able to maintain that. And I've mentioned this before, if you follow me, I treat like my exercise like an appointment with the doctor. And I will kind of block out that time. And sometimes when I was at the university, sometimes I would be like, you know, I can't go to that meeting because I have a doctor's appointment. Like I would treat it like a doctor's appointment and stick with it to make sure I take care of my exercise. Because if I don't take care of my exercise and myself, I will be in the doctor's office, right? So this is one thing, is if you're not taking care of yourself, everything's going to feel worse. You're going to be more stressed. You're not going to make as good decisions. And this comes in setting boundaries and knowing, you know what, maybe you have to say no to people. Maybe you need to carve out some time and be like, you know what, no, I actually can't meet you on Saturday. And before, I would advise, before you make any big life-changing decisions, is to assess kind of how long has this been happening, but making sure you're giving some space and taking care of yourself. And then if you're taking care of yourself and you're still very, very unhappy and you're, you know, you're not getting the fulfillment and you're thinking about, gosh, I really need a major change in my life, then I think you can be a little bit more strategic in going about it than if you're just fatigued, tired, you know, feeling sick, not doing well emotionally and physically. I think you're in a better position to make those kinds of decisions. And then taking care of yourself goes back to my friend and mentor, Jane Duber, is the things that you do have control. Do you find yourself complaining because you're working nonstop? Do you have control over your schedule? Are you the one booking all those sessions and making it so that you're working 6 days, 7 days a week? Are you the one that's booking hours and hours and hours back to back with no rest? Like if you have control over that, you know, as you're complaining about it, think back and say, okay, what can I change? Maybe that wasn't smart that I booked 5 hours of meetings back to back. And I'm guilty. I've done that. Literally, I like 5 hours of meetings back to back, 3-4 hours, no break in between. That's my own fault. And I need to own up to it and not do it again. Right? So that's something that's to think about. The other thing that helped me is, have you tried to make a change? So let me give you an example. I was not happy. I was not feeling as fulfilled with my classes I was teaching, say at the university. I used to be super, super excited and super passionate about the classes. And then I was like, it was like, oh, I got to read those papers. Oh, okay. I love my students, but the content of what I was teaching, I didn't care about it at all. Really. I was like, I don't care about this topic. I'm sitting here teaching this topic and I really don't care about it. So before I decided to leave the university and change my career, I thought, well, let me try a different topic. Let me propose a different course. Let me teach a different kind of student. And another thing that I did was I talked with others. I talked with my mentors. I even looked at maybe going to a different university, like thinking maybe that would be it. But what I did was I didn't just drop everything and say, yo, I'm leaving, I'm giving up. I was like, let me try to make it work. Let me try to bring the passion back. Let me try to bring the excitement back. And this is something that I'm glad I did this, because when I finally made the decision to leave, there were no doubts. Like, I knew I gave it my all. I knew that, and that was the same thing in my marriage. I tried everything, we did counseling. And so when I decided that, you know, hey, the marriage is over, when I decided my job, this is over, I, in good faith, could say, I tried everything possible. I gave it my all, but it still didn't work. And so with my job at the university, I tried, I proposed new classes, I got involved in other departments. And what I found out was that it did spark a fire. I did get excited again. But after about a year, one or two semesters, it petered out. And so it did work temporarily and it got me all motivated, but that and other, there were other reasons, other things going on with my job, but that excitement didn't stay and that passion didn't stay, but I tried. And like I said, for me, it did kind of maybe delay my decision to leave, but when I did leave, there were no doubts. Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. It was like, I knew what I had to do. There was no question about it. And that was the same in my marriage. And people say, like, how do you know when it's over? It's like, I had friends say, you know. And I hit that point where I was like, it's no longer a question of, do I leave my job? It was like, I have to. Like, there's no, like, I have to feed my soul. I have to do this. But if you're in that limbo and you're not sure, if you're losing excitement for your clients, you're losing excitement for what you're doing, but you're not sure if you want to do that big leap, is change things up. Try a different clientele, a different way of teaching. You know, there may be something else that you can tap into, and that may be the trick. And if it's not, at least you know you gave it a try. So, hey, Kate, good to see you. You can catch the replay if you can't stay for the whole time, but hopefully if you can stay. Okay, the next thing, this was really important also for me and making a decision and knowing how to manage all the doubt and the insecurity and the questions and the stress, is have you gotten an outside perspective? So I really struggled with leaving the university job. Like I said, I had guilt around it. I was like, you know, who am I like to expect to, you know, to feel like I should have a more fulfilled life? I was like, I have an amazing life as it is, you know, like, who am I to be like complaining? And I felt guilty that I wasn't happy with what I was doing. But what really helped me here was I had, well, number one, when I was going through the divorce and going through some of these decisions, I had a marriage counselor that I went just for me. And I continued to see her after the divorce. I would periodically see her because I was trying to make big life decisions about my life on where do I want to live and do I want to leave the, do I want to have a career change? Do I want to move? And so I continued to periodically touch in with her, and that was helpful to get an outside third party perspective. The other thing that I did was I had a business coach. And so when I had a lot of insecurities about moving into a different field, there was a lot for me to learn. And so I joined a mastermind and I educated myself. I had a coach. And then at one time when I was really struggling about whether I should leave the university and I had a lot of insecurities about that and a lot of fear, is I also had a life coach. And so I had many people, like when I was trying to make this decision, I had many people supporting me and kind of carrying me on their shoulders, and like they had my back. And when I would, you know, be scared or frustrated or guilty, I had people to reach out to. And I had a community of people who supported me and cheered me on and helped me get confident and helped me get the knowledge and the skills to do a change. And I could not have done it without that. Trying to do it on your own, and also that we know that negative thinking, it's like a snowball effect. It's really hard when you start, the body and the brain just kind of feeds into that negativity. And it's hard when you start thinking about the fear and the doubt and the insecurities, it's like a snowball. And like the brain, the way the brain works, like that is physiologically, it is hard to break out of that the longer you stay in it. So another thing that was helpful for me is having that outside perspective and support to get out of it when I, the fear and the insecurity and the self-doubt, it played a huge role in helping me move forward. So that was huge. I would not be where I am today if it weren't for the support of my family, but also those mentors, coaches, and people that I looked up to and had the kind of lifestyle that I wanted, right? The next thing is, have you identified what does excite you and what does motivate you? And this did not have, I did not know right away that I wanted to do an online business. I didn't know right away I wanted to do canine fitness. I would say that I was in limbo for a couple years when I was at the university, went through the divorce, I moved to a new town, and I had a really rough year kind of transition. And there was a period where I was like, nothing really excites me, right? I was just like, I don't get super excited about anything, but I know that that's not me. That's not the normal Erica. When I look at the years of my life, that is not who I am as a person. If you look at the sum of all my years of living. And so what I did was, for me, having that excitement and passion was important to me. And so I purposely said, I want to find it. Like, I would go take classes, and I would study, and I would, you know, I would try different things. I would journal, I would brainstorm, I would learn. And I was consciously, actively seeking what gets me excited again. And I know a lot of people where they're kind of like, well, I don't know. I'm not really happy, but I don't know what I want to do. And I don't know what really excites me. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's something that you're wanting to seek, there are things that you can do to kind of nurture and try things out and explore and reflect and have that self-awareness. And if that's what you want, just keep at it. You'll find it. But I do want people to know that it wasn't like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm going to leave the university, and oh, I love canine fitness, and oh, I want to do an online class. Like, this was a progression over time, but I just knew that I was not totally fulfilled in where I was in my life at that time. And I was actively seeking, what is it that makes me happy? And then when I would recognize it, I would think about it, reflect upon it, and be very trying to develop a lot of self-awareness of what brings me joy so that I can work more towards that. And then over time, the clarity came. Then it was like, you know, canine fitness and coaching and mentoring business owners and moving businesses online. And that evolved, but it was not overnight. But I knew that this was, not only did I want a different lifestyle, but I knew I wanted a lifestyle that I was excited about and passionate about. So I worked towards that to make that happen. I did a lot of journaling during that time. That self-awareness really helped. And then the other thing is, does fear prevent you from doing what you know you should do? So here's, I know many, many, many people, I've been there, where you know what you should be doing, right? And I've been there, and I've talked to friends that have been there. And if you listen to your gut, you may be saying, well, I don't know. But if you listen to your gut, I feel like a lot of times we know. Like, our body knows what we should be doing, but the fear holds us back. We're too scared. And this is where having the community and having the mentors and having the outside support and having surrounding myself with the positive people, that was how I helped to get over the fear. And also my coaches that I had along the way, they gave me strategies in how to deal with the fear and how to deal with the insecurity. So it wasn't like the fear just disappeared. Again, I was actively pursuing, I want to overcome this. How do I overcome the fear? How do I feel more confident? What strategies can I use when my mindset goes into the insecurities or the fear? So having the community, having people support me, and learning strategies to deal with this was very, very key for me to overcoming the fear and making the change. And it was very, very, very scary. It was like one of the most challenging things, if not the most difficult, the two most challenging things in my life were, you know, deciding about my marriage and you have this whole vision of what your life is. That was, I would say, one of the most difficult decisions in my life, and leaving the university. And I don't know which one was the most difficult, but they were the two most difficult and the scariest things that I ever had to decide to do. So, that's what helped me. Like I said, your situation, everybody's situation is different, but there may be some threads here of things that you can relate to that might help you in thinking about how to help you get through some of this. But that was really, really important. Charlie asked a question. Do you miss an intimate relationship when someone to share your joys and disappointments? I have all kinds of people in my life where I share those intimate relationships with, you know, friends and families. And I have key people in my life where any moment I want, I can turn, and I have places to go to have that. So I feel very, very fulfilled, Charlie. And I have different people that serve different roles in my life. So I totally, yeah, I could not be more content, and I have all that support. Beverly says, some people say to just hire and things will be better. You own a dog training, dog walking, and pet sitting. People are booking pet sitting visits, but it's extremely difficult to find people to work for you. So you end up doing everything. You feel guilty because you started the business 8 years ago and you have more time with your pups and you have almost no time for them. Yeah, like I said, guilt was a prevalent theme for me when I was trying to make a decision, was the guilt. So one of the things is you have to move through that guilt and get rid of that guilt. And like I said, I didn't do it all on my own. Having coaches, having mentors, having a community. Like I said, I even, you know, periodically visited the marriage counselor that I continued to, you know, I'd call her up and say, hey, need to chat. I'm feeling kind of insecure, or I'm feeling guilty. And that was really important. But I would say, you know, you have to recognize that there's no reason to feel guilty, and you have to deal. That was a big thing for me to overcome. And it took a while for me to get over that guilt. But the first thing is, Beverly is recognizing that and recognizing, you know, something's got to change, and then start thinking about what are the next steps to make it happen. Right. Kate, great, good question. Kate says, what if you really want to do something, what if you really want to do what you want to do isn't something that you can financially support you. So, so one thing is, be careful about the assumptions that you make, because that might be just a story that you tell yourself. There are people out there that are making all kinds of amazing, you know, lifestyles, making money in crazy ways that you would never think people could make money on. So number one is, double check your mindset, because you may be putting limits on yourself right there. Okay. And then the other thing is, sometimes, number one is there a precedent? Is there anybody else out there doing it? Another thing is, what I did was, before I turned like my passion with the dog stuff into the full-time business, is I kind of dabbled in it as like a hobby, and I kind of explored it. And I explored that area as I was building it up. So it wasn't like a big decision I made overnight. So what I actually did was, I was kind of dabbling in the university and the online and the dog stuff kind of together. And as I explored, if you had told me that I would be making sometimes 3 to 4 times the amount of money doing canine fitness online than an associate tenured professor at the university with a PhD, like, I mean, I had people at the university laugh at me, and I'm like, yeah, you can laugh all you want, but I know I was making more money than them. And so just do a double check. And I would say, be careful of the stories you tell yourself, because I would guess there's probably not as much limitation there as maybe you're thinking. I've got some more things kind of that might speak to that in the next slide. So the next one is, how badly do you want it? And be honest, be dead honest. If the excuses are coming up, you're not being honest with yourself. Okay. So one of the things is, a lot of times when you give the excuses and you don't move forward, a lot of times is, you know, it's not a big enough a priority for you. Two, and I think it's the next one, are you willing to put in the work and the effort? So sometimes you'll say, I really want that. I really want that. But are you willing to put in the effort? Are you willing to put in the sacrifice? Are you willing? I put years into it to get to where I am today. And the answer is not always yes. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with saying, well, I really want that, but do I want that enough to move my family? Do I want that enough to, I'm going to have some conflict with my spouse? Do I want that enough that I'm going to have to work temporarily 7 days a week, or, you know, be short on money so I can, you know, work towards it and be patient. And sometimes what I hear a lot of times is people say, oh, I wish, wow, you're so lucky. Or, oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, I wish I could do that. And it's like, well, you really could if you really, really wanted to. But when you look at it, maybe it's just not your, it's not as important to you to make all those other sacrifices in your life. So this is where I say, be honest with yourself. And if you're saying, well, you know, I don't have the money, or, oh, well, I could never do that. Or, oh, is think about, well, is it the excuse, or is it just, it's, there's other priorities you have in your life, maybe making your spouse happy. And, you know, being in a spot where they're close to family is more important to you. Right. But that is something I know when I was younger and I was living overseas and teaching overseas, and I had a lot of people saying, oh, I wish I could teach overseas. And I'm like, you know, you can, but when it came down to it, are they willing to leave their family? Are they willing to, you know, be across the country? And, you know, no, they weren't willing to take that sacrifice. So, you know, it's being honest with yourself about that. Hey, Rodney. Yeah. Health insurance is a huge dilemma for people to take risks. Yes. If you have family members who are, on expensive medications. Yep, exactly. So, and that was a huge thing also. And that was the biggest fear for me was the medical side and the insurance side, right? And so that's where it's like being honest is you may say, listen, in the ideal world, I would really want to do that. But to be honest with yourself, I'm willing to sacrifice that because I want the stability for my family, for the insurance and for the health, right? And so, but accept that, say, you know, I've made the decision, and then be okay with the decision and don't be miserable with your decision. There's not like a right or wrong decision. If you're like, well, yeah, that would be great to go off and do this amazing stuff. But you know what? I have a family. I have a health condition. My spouse has a health condition, and, I'm committed to, you know, supporting the family and understand that that's okay. And then there may be other ways. Maybe you're not going to do that big life change, but there's other ways to find that self-fulfillment. Maybe it's in smaller doses, right? But that was a huge, huge thing for me was health insurance, the financial security of that regular paycheck coming in. That was huge, right? And then, like I said, just because if you say I'm not willing to put in the, that's not a negative thing. It's not saying, well, I'm not willing to leave my family and go across the country. Like I would love to live in the Pacific Northwest, but I don't want to be away from my family. So that'll be kind of a dream that I always have, but being close to my family and driving distance is more important for me than that dream. But it's a dream, I would love to do it, but I'm like, but I want to be near my family. I want to be able to get in the car and drive to my family. And so just because I don't want to follow out on that dream is not a bad thing. It's just that I'm realizing where my priorities are. My priorities are, I want to be closer to my family. So I'm okay with that. I made my decision, right? The other thing is, does fear prevent you from doing what you know you should do? And again, I talked a bit about that on the fear-based side already. And that is something that I know holds a lot of people back. It held me back for quite a while. It held me back for a few years. Once I made the decision I wanted to leave the university, it took me quite a while to get the courage to actually do it. Part of my fear was financial. And so what made me overcome, the fear was always there, but what helped me overcome the fear to take action is the financial side was a huge, huge thing for me. So what I chose to do is I stayed at the university longer while I built up my online business. And so I had two incomes coming in. I worked my butt off, but I had two incomes coming in and I saved. So when I left the university, I had such a nest egg that I felt confident. And I was like, okay, I have enough money to support myself for a year or two if I have zero money coming in. And so I chose to stay in that position that maybe I wasn't the most fulfilling, but because my financial insecurities and my fear was so important. And I was like, you know, this is too scary for me to just up and leave. I need that financial security. So I chose to stay for like another year and a half at the university so I can just work extra hard and save. And then when I was ready to make the move, I had that nice nest egg. And so, so that was a sacrifice I made, right? I delayed it. And I was like, because I wanted that savings and I wanted to build up that income. And I worked really hard and I was working 7 days a week because I had two jobs, but that was my choice. And I was looking at the long-term, right? So, hey, Carol, you said you just applied to lease a facility. Very scary, but you've been wanting to do this. Oh, I have another thing to share with you. You made me think about this. You've been asked by friends, do you think you can do it? And your answer is, I will make it happen. That's what I was like, going to make it happen. And what I tell people is there's no such thing as failure. Is I may have a redirection. I may change my direction, but giving up is not an option. Now, my vision may change. I may say, hey, I want a facility and I want to have my own business and do this and that. And maybe the end results aren't that, but it's because I'm willing to just adjust along the way and my goals will change. But I go into it saying, you know what, if this is really important to me, I will make it happen. And then I will be, sometimes I decide later on, it's not important and I change my mind. But having that, that drive to push forward, and oh my gosh, you just slipped. Oh, the other things that I was going to say is, what were defining factors for me. One, like I said, a mind shift when Jane Duber was like, you know, Erica, you know, kind of stop complaining about your schedule if you have control over it. There were two other things. Number one is when I was making the big decision to do it from a hobby to a business. So I was doing canine fitness as like a hobby, making a little bit of side money, and then making it as trying to pursue it as a full business. Is I was driving down the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey. I think I was coming home from the university, and I had a skin biopsy, and I've had skin cancer in the past. And I remember very distinctly because the program to get the business support before I dove into it, I basically had to do like a master's program in business. I had a lot of teaching experience, but I had to invest it was like $25,000 to educate myself in business so I can take my online fitness stuff and move it into a business model that was productive. And that was a lot of money. And I was like, I don't know, this is very scary. And what was happening is I was driving down the Garden State Parkway. The doctor called me, I put it on speakerphone, and they said the results of the lab came back positive. So I had another skin cancer. And right then and there, I was like, you know, it's the big, I mean, if you're going to get cancer, skin cancer, it wasn't melanoma, you know, that's the one to get if you're going to get it, but it's still the big C, it's the big cancer word. And so I'm driving and I was like, right there, I decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to take my online business and I'm going to go big. I want to do an online academy. I want to do whatever I have to do. I want to invest in the support. I want to get a coach. I want to educate myself. And that phone call was a deciding factor because I was like, I don't want to live my life and have regret and say, what if I tried to make my business bigger? What if I tried to make an online academy? And that was a huge deciding factor. Is I thought, even if I fail, let's say I put $25,000 into a program and I fail, right? My business doesn't take off. The way I looked at it was the investment in my education I have for a lifetime. So I looked at my investment as like, I looked at it like a master's degree. And I was like, the knowledge that I get, I will have for a lifetime. Maybe this business won't work, but I'm willing to take the risk. And if that business fails, I'm not going to regret it because I'm going to learn so much in the process. And that was a big deciding factor for me, is kind of facing, you know, when you're dealing with the word cancer and you're looking at, you know, how do I want to live my life? And do I want to live my life at the end of the day and be like, man, what would have happened to my life if I had tried that? And that was something that I was willing to say, you know what, let me dive in, you know, 2 feet in, you know, I'm going to dive in head first. We're going to go for it and see if it's going to work. If it doesn't, I'm okay with my decision. But that was a huge deciding factor for me. Carol, you said that's what you told them. You might be doing dog training now, but might be rock climbing later. Yeah. Whatever pays the bills almost. Yeah. So those were some of the things that, like I said, that were some key things in helping me get through the indecision, some key things that helped me getting through some of the fear and trying to decide, you know, gosh, I'm not feeling very fulfilled. I'm not getting what I want, you know, out of my life. And what can I do to change that? And, you know, Rodney made a good point here about the health insurance is, you know, I was, you know, this was a process that took years. And there are ways, you know, if I had to stay in the university and I didn't do a shift, I would be just as determined to say, how can I make my life more fulfilling So maybe I stay in the university, but I feel like there's things that I'm not getting fulfilled in my life. I can tell you right now, you know, knowing my personality and my past is I would have been, okay, maybe I have this job that I'm not super crazy about, but I will aggressively find ways and seek out something that's going to make me feel more fulfilled and happier than maybe what I am. So it, like I said, it wasn't overnight, and it definitely wasn't something that it wasn't instant gratification. And that was one of the kind of, you know, the approaches that I took. I'm, like I said, I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying everybody should just drop everything and say, oh, I've always had this dream to go live in South Africa, and I'm just going to leave my children and, you know, go. But for people that are wanting to make some decisions, it can be small decisions or small changes, or it could be a big life, you know, change. These were the things that, like I said, helped me get through the indecision, get the clarity, ask the questions, the fear, right? So I think that's the last slide. Yeah. Just what I want to leave you with is, if you are a dog trainer and you're looking at, you know, maybe you're going to stay in dog training, but you want to change things up, you want to do different programs, you want to learn something new. Or if you're just starting out, or you're wanting to, a lot of people come to me and they're like, I don't have a lot of clarity. I don't know exactly what I want to do. I'm not exactly sure how I want to change the business. But I have the Canine Business Mastermind. It's an online business program. It is predominantly dog trainers and dog groomers and canine professionals. But I've also had people in other fields and other areas do the program. And, you know, we do things from the business side of things and growing your business or changing your business. And there is an online spin to it because my whole background in online teaching and learning and building online businesses. But if you're interested in, you know, getting some support and then having a community, maybe getting some direction and, you know, revamping your programs and or adding something new or going a different direction in the dog training or other areas of your business, go to northeastcaninemastermind.com. Oh, let me see if I can pop this up in the stream. It's northeastcaninemastermind.com. It's the letter K, the number 9, northeastcaninemastermind.com. And you can read about it. Enrollment's going to close soon. You can enroll right away or message me if you have any questions. I've got a whole video recording about the whole program that I could send you. But this is, like I said, if you're, I help a lot of people kind of revision their businesses, bring in new programs, rework their pricing, get more confident in charging, you know, for what you're worth. I also have a number of people that are transforming their life and their business by moving part of their business or all of their business online. So that gives you a lot of flexibility. Like where I live in Maine, there's not a lot of jobs here, and having an online business allows me to live in a place that most people cannot live here because of the limited job offerings. And so by going online, I was able to live anywhere I wanted that had high-speed internet. And so I have worked with a number of dog trainers and canine professionals that are either adding more value to their in-person programs to give them more flexibility, or I also have some business owners that are wanting to like go fully online. And those are some of the things that I've helped them in transforming their business and then ultimately transforming their whole life and giving the flexibility. But I love being able to do stuff online and having that flexibility. So thank you. If I missed some of your comments, I'm going live in a couple different places, but if I missed your comments or questions, I will catch them after I'm done going live. This video replay will be available. If any of this has been helpful or thought provoking, and you know, feel free to share it with others. And I hope by sharing some of what I've been through and some of the questions I asked myself and some of the strategies and the kind of the mental mindset that helped me work through some of these challenging times and help me make decisions, and also not just make decisions, but help me to be happy and okay with the decisions I've made. Because like I said, I'm not saying everybody should just go out and drop everything. It may be just you coming to terms with, you know, I'm deciding that I'm not going to do that right now, but I accept that and I'm okay with this. And I'm going to find, you know, other ways to kind of, you know, nurture the soul and bring that type of passion in other ways that maybe it might not be there, say, through a career, if you decide to, or if you're unable to make those changes due to your decisions. So So thank you. I don't see any questions or comments. A quick reminder that I go live on the Northeast Canine Conditioning Facebook business page every Friday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. I alternate kind of back and forth between canine fitness topics and canine business topics. And not sure what topic I'll do next week. But if you go to our Facebook business page, Northeast Canine Conditioning, and if you click on the video section, I think we're up to like 200 or more episodes. And there's all kinds of great stuff there for you. So like I said, if you have any questions at all about the mastermind or you've been thinking about joining or want more about it, message me. We'll probably only have enrollment open for maybe another week. And then we'll be shutting it down. I'm not sure when enrollment will open again. So you're very welcome, Erica. Thank you for joining. Carol and Charlie and Rodney, thanks for sharing. And Kate and Beverly. And like I said, I know everybody's situation's different. And you know, everything I put on here might not be applicable to you, but if you can take one little nugget, one little tidbit, hopefully that was helpful. So, all right, I'm logging off. Have a great rest of the day. And like I said, don't hesitate to reach out. And I'd love to see some of you in our mastermind program. Again, it's Northeast Canine Mastermind, the letter K, the number 9, northeastcaninemastermind.com. And I'll talk to you next Friday. Bye-bye for now.